right. Pastor, first of all, thank you for the opportunity. Praise the Lord. All right. Forgive me for being late. With working nights, it's, I guess, kind of difficult to get up sometimes and make it to events that's in the early evenings. So definitely thank the Lord that... Good. All right. Awesome. Always nice to have corrective criticism is always good, isn't it? Amen. And I always try to encourage people. And the thing is, someone's taught me, if you have something to criticize someone, always say something good and then say the bad. It goes down a lot easier that way. Well, they say take a spoonful of sugar with your medicine and it goes down a little easier, right? Take a spoonful of sugar. So definitely helps. I remember when in college, I remember in pulpit speech that our teacher, he would actually encourage everybody to basically criticize each person as they would preach afterwards, but critique them. And he would always be able to encourage everybody, even if you say something good, always find something good about it. All right, even if it was just a horrible message, they really flopped, you know, it didn't make sense, whatever. Come up, do something good, say something good, and then put your criticism in. And it goes over a lot easier if you do it that way. And if you do that for even when you're trying to talk to somebody, a friend or another person you're trying to encourage them with, if you just try to say something that's nice first, it's something that you like, or, hey, you know, I got a nice, real nice shirt, I like that color, or, and then go with what you need to say negative, I'll tell you, it will go over a lot easier that way, I promise you it will. And my last week, forgive me for not being here, our shower downstairs was overflowing into the basement, and I had to figure out where the water was coming from. It was just the drain kind of broke, so I had to have to get a new drain put in. So we're down one shower, and that's kind of hard to do with when you have eight people in the house, you know. But thank the Lord, it's better than zero showers. So definitely thank the Lord for that. So we'll have to get that fixed. We have to get a different type of drain than what was in there. Someone who put that one in there didn't probably really know what they were doing. So when they put it in, but hopefully we'll be able to fix it this time around. But one thing is, if you're not here on a Wednesday, be prepared because Pastor may have you preach if you don't show up on a Wednesday. So be prepared for that. So tonight I want to talk to you about a very important topic. And this topic, I really haven't heard it preached a whole lot. I really haven't. And some of the young men here I've had help me in the past. Be prepared. I may call on you to read a verse. So be ready, okay? And so this topic is, I think, it's very critical, I believe, in a church. I think this topic is very important because you can be a good, sound Christian, you're faithful, and you come to church every single Sunday, Wednesday, every activity, you're there, and this could be something that could be haunting you in the back of your mind, in the back of your heart, something that can be there, and you haven't really dealt with, and it's something that can creep up on a moment's notice. It could be something that could happen years ago, and it would bring back some bad thoughts or bad memories in your mind, and this would start taking place. And I want to be able to talk to this about bitterness. And so I think this is a very important topic to be able to talk about. And we'll kind of go through this, different places in the Bible and where it's referred at. And I hope that we can have a good rounded picture of this word, bitterness, when we're through. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessings for today. Dear gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for how great and wonderful thou art. And Lord, I pray that you would look in my heart and forgive me for my sin and my shortcomings and forgive me for being late today. And Lord, I pray that people would not hold that against me today. And Lord, I just would pray, and most of all, that your word would go out today. I thank you for the young men who have helped me in the past, especially in junior church, the Keaton boys. I appreciate them so much. They're no longer boys. They're young men. I thank you for them. And Lord, they do such a great job helping me. And one day I can see them doing a junior church here, or maybe a junior church at another church as the Lord moves them on somewhere else. And Lord, I just would pray that you just would bless them, Lord, and that you would work in their hearts in a great and mighty, powerful way. And Lord, I just thank you for Brother Daryl tonight. I pray that you would work in his heart. Thank you for his faithfulness. I pray that he would continue by the stuff, Lord. I pray that you would help him with the time management and other things in college that is so critical, and having the finances that he needs to pay all of his bills. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless there. Thank you so much for our pastor. What a blessing to have him. And I pray that you would work in his heart, Father. And I pray that you just would help him, Lord, with his endeavors, anything that he needs. I pray that you would grant that to him. And Lord, I just would pray also that you would just be with him and his wife and children, and grant to them even some wants that's in their life, things that would make them happy, Lord, and things that they may need. And just pray that you just would bless them in a great way. And any way that the church can help with those things, I pray we'll do that. Be with our assistant pastor that's coming. Lord, I pray we can do our best to be a blessing and encouragement to him. And Lord, I just would pray that you just would help us just rally around him and make him feel super welcome. And Lord, I pray that we can all be together as a team, arm to arm, hand to hand, Lord, work together. And Lord, that we can accomplish more because of it, Lord. And Lord, I just would pray that you just would bless this message tonight. I pray that you give me the right words to say, and Lord, that you just help my wiriness tonight, Lord, of not having as much sleep as I would like. But Father, I just would pray that you would help me, give me clarity of mind, clarity of thinking. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for how great and wonderful thou art, Lord. In Jesus' holy, most precious name, amen. All right, less than 4 hours of sleep, we'll see. The Lord will have to do his part, amen. But adrenaline does a lot too, so and caffeine. So definitely, I thank the Lord that he's given me a great job and been able to be there almost 20 years at UPS. So I thank the Lord for that. And that was an answer to prayer, believe it or not. I remember back when we were in the old building over at the other property. I was in the old school building, and Brother Brock Evans, he used to work there at the church with us and was one of the college students, one of the preacher boys. And I was over there in the school building, and I remember UPS called and asked me, because Brother Brock helped me put my application in, and he was like, had one phone on one of his ears and had one phone talking to me on his other ear, and I would tell him my information, then he put my information through UPS through the other phone, and you put your application through the phone system back then. Now you just put it all on the internet. But so he's put all that information in for me. He was a supervisor at the time and got me on at UPS. And I prayed for 7 weeks. I prayed, God, please give me this job at UPS, because I needed a job. And it's kind of funny, the way I kind of got propped to go work. I was a Bible college student. I was at Bible College at Heritage. Now it's Indiana Baptist Bible College. But I was there, and my girlfriend at the time, she basically said for me to go out and get a job. And so that's kind of what happened. So I prayed and said, God, if you want me a job, please help me get this job. And so it was really nice, because 7 weeks later, UPS called me, and I'm like, yeah, I want the job. And I've been there since. So it was March the 10th of 2003. And so definitely, I thank the Lord for that, you know. And it's been a great job, and third shift's been kind of tough, you know, sometimes, but overall, just as long as you get your sleep, you do pretty good, all right? That's important probably for any job, really, but this word bitterness, I believe something that's very important in the Christian circle, in the church. I believe bitterness is something that can happen so very easily. It can happen over just a circumstance that may happen, you get angry about, and that memory of that, when you think of it, triggers that anger, and then that just continues to allow that bitterness to hurt you. And we're going to go through this. I looked up on the internet. You can look up basically any word you want. And it's kind of interesting, some of the things that they said about bitterness. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It says, at gotquestions.org, it says, refers to a mental or emotional state that corrodes and eats away at. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Brother Jim, is he here? He's not here tonight. I think Brother Matt knows something about vehicles, right? Now, what's something that if you have lots of corrosion on your battery, what happens?
You don't get a signal.
Right? Yeah, it's not going to work, right? It's not going to work right. It's not going to work properly. You're not going to be able to have the electrical current like you're supposed to have. And so if you have corrosion, that's usually a bad thing, all right? So, yeah, so if it corrodes, it's going to be bad. And then the next thing, it says bitterness can affect one's experiencing profound grief. Anything that act on a mind in the way poison acts on the body. So as poison, you know, hurts your body, bitterness does the same thing in your mind. It's like poison. It's like venom in your mind. I'm like, wow, that's quite interesting that it would go in detail like that. But our first verse I want us to be able to look up here, turn to Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10, verse 1. Mr. Darrell, you find that? Stand up and read that for me, please, sir.
My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul.
Very interesting that one person, you can probably go in the Bible and think, if someone could have a reason to be bitter, the reason to be upset, would be Job. You think things that he went through was beyond what probably any of us have went through in our life, understanding all your children gone, poof, have to bury those children one after another. One child would be horrible enough. A father and mother, we look at, we should never have to bury a child, you know. Our children should bury us. That's literally how it should work. But the thing is, to bury all his children, that would be a very difficult task to complete and do. And to be able to understand all his riches, all his livestock, gone. And you think, and then upon his good health, was being attacked and feeling horrible. And just think of all that he went through. You think of some person that would be able to be, say, I'm bitter, I'm upset, would be Job. It says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, there's things we have to look at. Bitterness, this is sorrow of heart. You know, you can be, people would cry bitterly, correct? And so when you cry bitterly, you know, that's uncontrollable. You've probably been at a funeral or maybe even at a wedding, and you cry happy tears or sad tears, and you just cry uncontrollably. And you would say that person is crying bitterly. And some things you would call bittersweet, right? And so with Job, his heart was broken. No doubt he had a bitter sorrow in his heart, understanding that he was broken, okay? And it's nothing necessarily wrong with having brokenness and having sorrow. Those things are not wrong, and those things can actually be good because God says if you have sorrow, what, he can comfort you, right? Yeah, that's when the Holy Spirit does one of his jobs is to comfort us as a Christian when we're broken. But the problem is when we don't go to God, when we're broken, and we seek other devices or other people or other things to fill that void, that brokenness, that's the problem that we run into, is when we have that bitter brokenness in our heart and we don't run to God for our treatment, all right, of comfort, that's when we come into trouble. And so it's very important for us to understand that Job, he was broken more beyond probably what we will ever experience. Hope to God we never have to go through what Job went through. But Job was broken. But we have to understand that Job, you know what, went to God. Why? Because he never cursed God. He never went to God and shook his fist up to God and said, God, what did you do this for? I blame you for all of it. No, he didn't do that. He understood God done what was done in his life. He understood that. Let's look at another verse here in Job 21:25. Brother David, can you read it for me? As soon as you get it there. Mm-hmm. 21:25.
And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure.
Yeah. Sometimes, no doubt, when you die, you have sorrow of heart, right? Because of things maybe you didn't get to accomplish, or things you didn't get to do, or things you see undone and you can't do because you've ran out of time. And you're broken. You have bitterness of heart because you wish you could have done this, you wish you could have done that. That's why it's important to make sure you don't leave those things undone. To understand, live every day like it could be your last. Because if you don't, that day will come. We have a fellow at work. His name was Greg. I didn't know him super well, but I've seen him at the gym a couple times, I would say. I mean, just a handful of times I've seen him in passing, basically. And I wish maybe I could have spent more time with him. And that's a regret of mine, that maybe I said, well, maybe I could have, you know, just stopped him for a minute or two and talked to him more instead of just, you know, in passing, just seeing each other. But he passed away. He died in a car accident a couple weeks ago. And it was just sad. It really made me think that how short life can be. He wasn't expecting that his life was going to be gone like that. He wasn't expecting that. But that's how it works. You don't get a memo, all right, or you don't get an email saying, next week at this time, it's going to be your last day. It doesn't happen that way, you know. And if it did, you know what, a lot of people would, man, all right, I got 2 weeks to try to get everything in line and make, got 2 weeks to build. I got 1 week now. All right, I got 3 days. Now, there are very few times in Scripture when God says, okay, your time is going to be here, okay. But most cases, you know what, it doesn't happen like that. All right, you're not going to know. And then sometimes, of course, you know it may be coming soon because you got a disease or cancer, and you understand, okay, the doctor says I have a year to live, and so you may only have that year. I remember when I worked for the Amazing Grace Mission, we went down to Louisville, and there was a couple that I went down there with and to be able to spread the gospel at the FFA down to Louisville Convention Center down there. And her husband passed away, but they made an agreement. They said, well, I can go through chemo and radiation and be so sick and so out of energy and not be able to really do anything and live a little longer maybe. Or the doctor said, I can have a lot more energy and be able to do what I want up to maybe a few weeks before I pass away. And so he decided he was going to not take chemo and radiation and be able to be with his family, and his son was going to be at graduation, and there were several things that needed to be done that he wanted to be a part of. And they went on vacation that summer and done lots of things with the family, and that's what he decided to do, and he passed away. But he kind of knew a little bit, all right, I got about a year, all right, I'm going to do as much as I can with my family, make this the best year ever, you know. And that's basically how he went. That's how he passed away, you know. But a lot of times we don't have that opportunity to be able to say, all right, I got a year. Let me do all I can in this year for God and for my family and just make this the best one ever. You know, we may not have that opportunity. And we see here in Scripture that it says another dieth in bitterness of his soul. Because you know what? Some people have regrets when they die, you know? And some people, there's things that they wish they could have done, or they left undone, or they wish they could go back and change. It's too late. They can't. And so it's very important to understand that there comes to a point where it says, never eateth with pleasure, because there comes a point where your bitterness of your heart, you're so broken that you know you can't go back and change these things. Your time has ran out. And even just the simple thing of eating food is no more pleasurous. It's no more a fun thing anymore because you know your time's ran out. And so it's very important to understand that they're looking at this attitude of Job. You can say, well, he had some bitterness. Well, he had some bitterness of a broken heart. He had a heart that was broken because he lost his family. And he wasn't blaming God for this, but just to be able to let you know that he definitely had a broken heart, okay? But the thing is this, you can say, what was his attitude, Brother Jeremiah? Well, let's look at Job 13, 15, and we'll see his attitude. Look at Job 13, 15. Brother Justin, stand up and read that for me, please, sir. See that? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but maintain my own ways before him. Wow. What incredible to understand. God, it seemed like all these things were happening to him. He knew that God was allowing these things to happen to him. It wasn't by an accident. And you know what? He says, I'm going to still trust in him. No matter what he does, no matter what may happen in my life, I'm going to still trust in God. That was his attitude, folks. Even though he had a broken heart, and you can say, well, he had some bitterness in there, but he didn't have bitterness toward God. You have to understand that looking at bitterness, yes, bitterness is wrong, but sometimes you'll have a broken heart, and it will be a bitter feeling, okay? It will be a bitter thing in your life because you're broken, all right? Your heart's broken, all right? You have sorrow. But the thing is, how can you have a broken heart and not keep it broken? And how can you have a broken heart and allow that to basically fluster and to be able to allow it to grow and to be able to allow your anger get in there and direct that toward God and blame God for something that, you know what, he didn't even wanted you to be blame him for that. To understand, okay, God is control of all things. That's true. But he allows this bad things in your life for a reason. And majority of the time as a Christian, we understand he allows bad things to take place, what, to help us make us stronger, to teach us things, to be able to understand that he allows these things to happen in our life, what, to make us a better person. And as you look in your life, the bad things have happened in your life, those things has probably molded you and made you better person more than the good things that's happened in your life. Okay? Sure, you can look back and say, all these bad things have happened in my life. I wish they never happened. And that may be true. It would be good if we could go back and erase them. But the thing is this, to understand those bad things that have happened, those have formed those circumstances to understand, well, I know not to do that. I know not to go there. And you know, to be able to teach your children and other people around you, don't go down that alley. There's a big black dog down there. It's going to bite you. Bit daddy here. Don't you dare go down there or it's going to bite you too. All right? And then, you know what? Your kids have to figure out, all right, it bit daddy. I don't want it to bite me. So they can learn by daddy's experience or their own experience, right? Yeah. So I try to teach my kids the same way. I'm like, yeah, daddy messed up here, but you know what? I don't want you to mess up this way. Because if you do, it will hurt you this way and this way and this way. And they have a choice. I told them a little story about when I was a little boy, my mother was pulling something out of the oven and put the oven door down, and she turned her back toward me, and you know, I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And next thing I know, I'm climbing on the oven door because I like climbing on things. And I put my foot on top of the oven door. Next thing I know, got burnt my foot. And no doubt, my mother probably told me many times, don't be around the oven. But you know what? I didn't listen. I maybe didn't quite understand. But I understood then. I burnt my foot really bad, okay? And so the thing is this. You can learn from your experience or others' experience, but it's better to learn from other people's experience because it's less painful. There's less heartache involved, okay? And so it's very important to understand that this thing of a broken heart, yeah, you can have bitterness because of a broken heart. It depends upon what you do with that sorrow. Do you go to God or do you keep it all built up inside? And that's the worst thing you can do. Because then you'll start blaming God and other people for that sorrow. And God's wanting to comfort you. God's wanting to help you deal with that sorrow, with those bad circumstances in your life, things that you're going through, things that's happened to you that maybe hasn't happened to everyone else. God wants to minister to you if you allow him to do so. Let's look at the next part here in Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, Verse 15, Brother Darrell, if you can read that for me, please, sir. Mm-hmm. Stand up and read that, please.
What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul.
We see here in Isaiah, and with Hezekiah, is very interesting because he was going to die. God told him that he was going to die. But he went to God and pled to God. Said, God, please give me a longer life. Please not let me die. Heal me from this sickness, this disease that I have. And no doubt, can God heal? Yes. And you know what God did? God healed him. God done it. But if we looked in Scripture, we would understand not very long after this, all right, you know, we see that Israel had to go through some bad times. They went into captivity, Babylon, right? And so God was going to shield him from all that and things that his sons would go through, things that he would go through. God was going to shield him from all that through death. You know, you think death is a horrible thing, and we think of that as a horrible thing, but not always so. God understands the big picture. He sees more than just your death. He understands what's going to happen after your death. Okay? He knows what's going to happen, all the things that are going to happen years after your death. So God was basically going to shield him from all these bad things that was going to happen that he wouldn't have to witness and see and go through. But, of course, God still heard and answered his prayer, which is quite interesting. Let's look at another verse here, verse 17, just a couple verses down. Brother Dave, if you read that for me, please, sir. Yep, yes, sir.
Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back.
Amen. No doubt, he was very happy to understand that God has granted him more years. God took away his sickness. God healed him, and he was grateful for that. And we can see that through Scripture, that through he was very grateful. And I hope that you would be if God healed you of a sickness or an illness that was terminal and you were going to die and God healed you. You should be very thankful and happy for it. But we see here that no doubt bitterness is, what shall I say? He hath both broken unto me and himself and hath done it, and I shall go softly all the years in the bitterness of my soul. We see here that the bitterness of my soul. There can be bitterness that's within your soul of circumstances that has happened in your life. More than just a broken heart, or more than just sorrow, but that bitterness can be in your soul. That means it's in you, who you are, into your character, the ways you think, the ways you do things, the way you decide to do things. That bitterness is in there. And it, you know what that means? It controls you. Ultimately, it's like a puppet, and you have strings on it, and that bitterness controls whatever you do. It controls your decision-making. It controls what you're going to do. It controls where you're going to go, when you're going to go. That bitterness can control you. When it's the bitterness of your soul, it's within you. And we understand, we see the next verse. It says, behold, for peace I have great bitterness, for thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now, Hezekiah understood that God delivered him, and God allowed him to have a longer life, and I believe he was thankful for that. But we understand, if we continue to read, he made some very bad decisions. Okay? Very bad decisions. All right, allowing those from Babylon to see all that they had and all his treasure, and it just continues to pile on, that you just don't invite an enemy into your house and say, oh, come on in my bedroom and look where I got my money here. And, oh, look where I hide it underneath my bed here. And, oh, look, I got this underneath my pillow. And no, you don't do that, okay? Don't do that, okay, when someone's your enemy, okay? You don't let them know where you're hiding your money and where, oh, I got my ball bat behind my door here. And you don't do that with your enemy, okay? You don't do that. And so, but we see that he made some horrible, awful decisions after this, okay? He didn't go to God for those decisions, okay? He went to God to have a longer life because he was dying, and he was grateful that God gave him a longer life, which hopefully all of us would be if that happened for us, right? But we understand that he didn't go to God and ask God, God, should I let those from Babylon come into my treasury? Should I do that, Lord? He didn't pray about that. He didn't go to God's face and seek his face upon that. And so it's very important to understand the decisions that he continued to make after that were some bad decisions. And we see no doubt the captivity of Judah was going to happen. And it was going to be horrible and awful, and a lot of pain and agony and sorrow was going to take place. But we see here the bitterness of my soul. So it's very important in our life. And bitterness can happen many different ways. It can happen by you getting angry with someone who done you wrong, and you didn't forgive them, and you didn't go to them and say, hey, that really bothered me. Will you please not do that again? Or and you didn't get that settled, and you let that continue to fester and to grow and you get continued angry about it. If something bothers you, you should tell someone about it, right? Yeah, tell them about it. And it's very important, maybe not announce it during prayer time, say, well, this person's bothering me. No, go to them, you know, call them up or text them. And that individual that you have a problem with, don't do it publicly in front of everybody. Don't do that. Don't embarrass the person. But the thing is this, that will make the problem worse. And you don't want to make it worse. You're trying to de-escalate the situation and try not to make it worse, okay? And so I've seen supervisors at my work and see them how they combat different people who have problems, especially those who have a hot top or they have anger issues, okay? And I've seen how different supervisors may, and they attack that by them being angry, and they're just going head to head, and they're just screaming at each other. I'm like, oh, that's the best way to do it, you know, because it usually makes it worse. But I've seen other supervisors where they go to that same, I mean, not the same exact person, but another situation arises and anger flares up. And then the supervisor goes to him sternly, but very calm. And, you know, the situation just like a balloon drops right out. Okay. And I'm like, that's a lot better way to do it. Okay. And I said, brother, I remember Mr. Jeff, I remember many times at my work, he's seen it many times at UPS, but angers flare up. But the thing is this. He probably can remember different supervisors that handled it the right way, other supervisors that handled it the wrong way, okay? But the thing is this, God wants to understand that situations happen, and we have to understand that we may have bitterness in our soul. We have to get that settled. We have to get that straightened out. We have to go to God on that because we don't want that bitterness to grow and get worse because it will. It will affect your decision making. And even if God gave you a longer life, even if God allowed you to live longer and he healed you, you can continue. You can make some bad decisions even after that. Okay? And we see that happens. So it's very important that we get that in check and not have great bitterness in our life. Okay? Because you say, how are we supposed to do that? Well, just one page over, Isaiah 40:31. Look at that. Perfect way to take your bitterness to the Lord. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. You take your bitterness to God and you wait upon the Lord to help you with the situations that you go through because it says that he will renew your strength. And he says that you will mount up as wings as eagles. I mean, you'll have victory over those things. You just have to make sure you go to the Lord on those things and not just say, oh, I'll take care of it on my own, or I'll just let time take care of it, or whatever reason you want to try to put in there. The thing is, you've got to take it to God. It's very important. Let's look at the next passage of Scripture, Proverbs 14. Proverbs here in Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 10. Brother Justin, stand up and read that for me, please, sir. Amen. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And so the heart knoweth, all right? You know if you're bitter. It's not something that just saying, oh, you know, I was bitter 10 years ago, but I'm not bitter anymore. It's something I forgot about. No, your heart knows about it, okay? But why? Because you think about it. That's why you're bitter over it, because you think about it. And just like the definition that we talked at the very beginning, all right, it's in your mind as a poison, as a serpent bites you, that poison goes through your body and it hurts you, all right? It's the same way. Bitterness is like that venom, but it's in your mind and it corrupts you, it corrodes, and you have to get rid of that corrosion. You got to get rid of that poison because that's what it is. And so it's very important for us to understand that we got to get rid of that poison, and you have to take it to God and understand that the heart knoweth. God knows that's there, and you know it's there. And a lot of times other people know it's there too, okay, because it affects your relationships, all right? So that's very important, excuse me, that you take it to God. And even when your heart knoweth, you need to make sure that you take it to God, and it says, and need help from the Lord. You got to go to God. Say, God, I need help from you. I can't do it on my own. I know I got these problems. Please help me. That's the first step to any solving any problem, is admitting you got a problem. That's the first step. All right. Now, that doesn't solve it, just admitting you got a problem. Okay. But you have to go to the right source and the right help. Okay. And you have to go to God. All right. Once you go to God and you pray about it and you seek God's face on it, you get counsel, all right, you get others praying with you on it, and you know what? You can get victory over those things, whatever it may be. But this is something that no doubt will affect every single one of us, maybe more than others. But I think sometimes when people have been hurt very deeply in the past, it's very difficult to sometimes get over things just simply because that hurt is so deep. That hurt is there because of how we talked about it. It's a sorrow of heart, your bitterness in your soul. And it's deep in there, and it's just very difficult to deal with because it's something that you just try to put to the side because you try not to think about it and just put it to the side, but it's still there. Your heart knows about it. And so it's very important that we take it to the Lord, and then we get counsel. We seek others to help us and pray with us on those things. All right? It's very important. Let's look at the next verse here. It says here in Acts chapter 8. We're going to go to the New Testament now. Here in Acts chapter 8, verse 23. Brother Darrell, stand up and read that for me, please, sir.
For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.
Amen. Thank you. We see here that Simon, not Simon Peter, but another man who was Simon, got saved, or supposedly got saved. And we see through his actions that maybe he didn't get saved, but we don't know necessarily his heart. But we understand that he went through the actions of being saved, and he's seen the disciples doing these great miracles, and he wanted to have that power to be able to do that. And he wanted to give money to the disciples, say, hey, here's some money. Let me be able to do those miracles too. And he got rebuked and said, no, that's not how it works, okay? He got rebuked for that. And we see here that, you know, said repent, okay? Peter's told him to repent, all right, of that. Repent, says therefore in verse 22, says repent therefore of this wickedness and pray to God, and perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. So this action is wrong. Repent. This is not how it works, okay? And we see here that, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. And so we think of the gall of bitterness, it says, wilt become. Okay? Bitterness is going to happen in you if you don't repent. All right? So it's very important to understand that he went the wrong way about it, got rebuked, and you know what? God's saying, you know what? Repent. Ask forgiveness. All right? And then, you know what? I can start helping with this if he truly is someone who is saved. All right? And so, because this is the gall of bitterness, it's something will become. It will become bitterness. Okay? It's something you get hurt. You had to go through a bad situation. You have some hurt feelings. And if you don't get it straightened out, it will become the gall of bitterness. It will become bitterness in your life. It's going to happen. It will happen. It's guaranteed. If you don't get it settled, if you don't get it worked on, if you don't get it straightened out, it will become bitterness. It will. There's no other way around it. Hurtfulness, it's going to happen. In life, we will be hurt. It's going to happen, okay? We're going to get our feet stepped on. It's going to happen, okay? We're human beings, okay? That's just how it works, okay? All right, we're not perfect people. Now, we're supposed to do our best, all right, to let problems and circumstances be like water on a duck's back, right? Just roll off, all right? Not let it affect you. But that doesn't always work for every single person, okay? All right, so some people can't work through those different circumstances or different problems or different things that are going on, or different people hurting their feelings. It's hard to continue to want to be their friend or be helpful to them and be loving and kind to them. But the thing is this, God says get it dealt with. Get it dealt with. If you don't get it dealt with, it will become bitterness. And once it becomes bitterness, it's one of those things, it will continue to grow and get worse. It's like the snowball effect. That little tiny snowball, what turns into a huge, massive snowball, and there's no way stopping it, okay? So the thing is this, it's very important for us to understand that in the very beginning, in the infant stages, all right, of bitterness, all right, or even before it even starts, okay, when you got a hurt feelings, when your heart is broken, when you're sorrowful, when it's deep in your soul and it really bothers you, get it dealt with. Because if you don't, it will continue to grow. And I've seen it done with people, and I've seen them struggle with hurtfulness and with problems, and they just seem like they just keep hashing the same thing over and over, and many times it's just because they've been hurt so deep. But it's something you must take it to God. It may be on a daily basis, and it may be on many times during the day you may have to take it to the Lord, but continue to take it to the Lord, and God will help you with that. He will. Simon had to repent. If he didn't repent, bitterness was going to happen, guaranteed. All right? And so it's very important that in our life, we have to deal with it the same way. When things happen, circumstances, things that hurt us, you know, repair, you know, try to reach out, say, hey, forgive me for doing this. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. And with my brother-in-law, Daryl, he stays with us on the weekends. And when you stay with people, you know, it's easy to get on each other's maybe nerves a little bit. I remember when I was in college, you know, college students, I mean, I seemed like I had my shelf all filled with food, you know. All the other four college students, their shelves were empty. Hey, you know, there's food on the top shelf. Won't we get that food? And so they would take my food, all right? And so that bothered me a little bit. But the thing is, I try to say something a little bit, but I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, just went on, okay? They didn't have food, so they didn't want them to go hungry, so why don't you take some of mine, all right? So I'm kind of saying, well, why don't you just get some of your food? You know what? I was able to feed them, okay? So nevertheless, sometimes you get on each other's nerves, you know? And I remember many times I've came to my brother and say, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. I hope you didn't take it the wrong way. And I appreciate honesty. It's very important for honesty. If he's not, that doesn't bother me. Just, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing it. Okay? But the thing is this, if he says it bothered me, I'm going to do my best not to do that. Okay? See how that works? And so if both parties have to be honest here. The person who's committing the transaction needs to be able to say, okay, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. But the other person has to be able to say, oh, yeah, it did hurt me, but I forgive you. Okay? But you can't just say, oh, no, it didn't bother me. And then you keep it to yourself and you don't let the person know it bothers you. What happens? It's going to happen again. And bitterness will reach in and it will happen. Okay? So it's very important that we work on this and that it's an everyday process, and to be able to not allow it to fluster and to grow. Let's look at the next part here in Ephesians. beautiful passage of scripture talks about this. Ephesians chapter 4. We call this the love book. What better passage of scripture, all right, in the love book, okay, to talk about bitterness? Because it, you know, husband and wife relationship, relationship with God, these things should not be, okay? We should not be bitter toward God. We should not be bitter toward our spouse. It should be something that's very important. If you're going to have a good, sweet relationship with your spouse, you can't be bitter toward each other, okay? Or you're not going to make it very long, okay, as a husband and wife. And so let's look here in Ephesians chapter 4, Brother David, verse 31, please.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Amen. So we see here that God clumps it all together, all right? He throws a dart at each one of them, okay? And the very top one, let all bitterness. Because I think bitterness affects every one of these things, okay? That's why God puts it first. Because it will affect wrath. It will affect your anger. It will affect each one of these. It's very important. If you don't attack this bitterness, okay, it will affect you. It will affect you by your actions, how you treat people. If you lash out with anger or with a bad attitude, okay, it will affect these things and how quick your fuse is, okay, and not be long-suffering toward people, and especially to your spouse, you know, your husband and wife. I mean, you can't have short fuses with each other. And I know that as a husband and wife, your hearts are really close to one another, okay? That's how it's supposed to be. And it usually don't take a whole lot to hurt one another because your hearts are so closely knit together. And it don't really take sometimes a whole lot to hurt one another because your hearts are so close to each other, okay? Now, if your hearts are really far apart, then maybe things don't affect you as much. But sometimes when you're super close to one another, it's like you can do little things and it hurts one another because your relationship's close and you can hurt each other very easily. And so it's very important to understand that God wants you to be able to make sure bitterness is not in that relationship, in a husband and wife relationship. It should not be there. You know, it shouldn't. You should have a quick fuse on one another and to be able to just lash out with anger. Why did you do that for? What are you doing this for? Quit doing that. Don't do that. If you reach out with a loving hand, with a loving voice, and reach out, you know what, with a kind voice, it goes a lot longer, a lot farther, okay? It will. I've done it at my work where, you know, where I got angry, and then they got angry, and it, you know, didn't dissolve very well, okay? Didn't work out very well. And at my work, I've done it the other way, where someone get angry with me, and then I go to them with a kind voice, with a soft voice. And it does that situation, goes right down, super easy, okay? And so I've seen it both ways, personally, all right, and with other people. And you know what? It works so much better if you just go with a voice of kindness, a voice of sweetness, and be able to go to that person and talk to that person and say, hey, I appreciate it if you don't do that or don't do this. And sometimes, you know, people will just be annoying, and so be it. If they want to be annoying, let them be annoying, but you've done your part to let them know that bothers you, that you don't want that to take place, and that, especially in a work situation. You know what? Sometimes people are going to be annoying sometimes, but you know what? You have to learn why you're there. Why you're there at work? You're there to make money, to provide for your family. You're there to be able to take care of your family with that. You're not there to argue with that person. You're not there to get angry at that person. You're there to do your work, okay? And if you've got a big enough situation, you know what? Go to the supervisor. Tell the supervisor, and the supervisor will take care of it if that person doesn't want to listen to you, okay? And then there's other ways you can do that after that, okay? But the thing is this. God wants you to understand that, you know what? In a relationship, bitterness should not be there, okay? God goes in great detail here and goes through the whole list, just like we had a dartboard and we were throwing darts. First one he hits, bitterness right off the bat, okay? Because he wants you to deal with this in a relationship. Because the next verse, beautiful verse, verse 32, look at that. It says, but be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why should you forgive someone else? Because Jesus Christ forgave you. That's why. Yeah. You wouldn't have salvation. You wouldn't have a home in heaven. You wouldn't have the peace of God, the joy in your life without what? Forgiveness of God. Yeah. And so it's very important to be able to understand that we should be kind to one another. Yeah, kind to one another. And I know that's difficult to sometimes do because some people are being difficult. But the thing is, kindness. Continue to pour that kindness. And I've seen it done, man. If you just be kind to someone and you're just saying, oh, they're being mean to me. Be kind to them. Be nice to them. And it's kind of hard to continue to be mean to someone if they keep being nice back. It does something to your electrical system in your body. It's like, I keep doing this, and they keep being nice to me. That just messes with them, all right? It does. I promise it messes with them. And the thing is this, they probably will quit. Remember a guy at my work. His name was John, and he used to say the F-bomb all the time. I mean, just it would say it on purpose, just try to get underneath my skin. Just, man, just all the time. And he would just do things left and right. And you know what, the other day, he came up to me, and this is, known him for almost 20 years now. He said, Jeremiah, can you pray with me? I'm having a really hard day. Yeah. You know what I've done? I prayed with him right there on the spot. And I thank the Lord for that, And I'm like, wow, what an opportunity. It took 20 years to be able to do that. So the thing is this, things may not happen overnight. You may say, well, I've been praying for this person for a year. Great. Keep praying for him. Dr. Doyle, you know what he would say? He would say he prayed for his brother for 42 years before he led his brother to the Lord over the kitchen table. 42 years. May not happen overnight, folks. But you keep on keeping on, keep doing the right thing. And you know what? God blesses. And so it's very important to understand that God wants you to be kind, to keep doing the right thing. Because it works. Because God says it so. Because God says it does. But it works. And so it almost surprised me when he came up and asked me, can you pray with me on this? I'm like, sure. I wasn't expecting it. But for years I've been kind to him, been reaching out to him. For years trying to talk to him about God, tell him about things about the Lord. For years. And finally, he just came up to me out of the blue and said, can you pray with me on this? I'm having a real bad day. I'm like, most definitely. And so it's very important for us to be able to be kind, not to hold that bitterness in our heart toward each other, toward our loved ones, toward our spouse, our husband or wife, because they may do things that's hurtful. And like I said, because your hearts are so close, it's very easy to hurt one another. But you know what? God wants us to forgive one another, continue to be kind to each other. So look at the last verse here, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look here at verse 15. Brother David, if you can stand up and read that for me, please, sir. Yeah, powerful verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and whereby many be defiled. So God wants us to be able to understand a root is very difficult to get rid of. It's very difficult. And I remember we had some big shrubs in front of our house. I mean, big dudes. They were probably there for 30 years, okay? They were there a long time. We had to get those things out, okay? And I would basically redo, put something else in there. We haven't done that yet, but we pulled them out. But we just couldn't just, get three or four people to pull them out. We had to have some horsepower, all right? We had to put a chain around the bottom of it, hook up my truck to it, yank them out, okay? One of them it took. We had three of them there. One of them, we had to hit it like two or three times, finally it ripped out. And those roots were, they were incredibly long. I mean, for a bush, I mean, it was just, those things were deep. They've been grown for probably since the house was there, probably when the house was first put there back in the 60s, they put those bushes there, all right? But those roots were deep. To understand, if you don't deal with bitterness, it's your heart is broken. It's something that's deep in your soul, okay? It's something that you know in your heart, that you know it's wrong, that you need to get rid of it. It's the gall of bitterness. You know if you don't get rid of it, bitterness is going to spring up, right? And you know that, you know what? We need to put it away. Put bitterness away out of our life. We need to do that. Because the love book, right, in Ephesians tells us at the very beginning, get rid of it. Get rid of bitterness. To understand if you don't get rid of it, it will be like a root, and it will continue to grow and grow and grow and go deeper into your heart, and it will be a lot harder to get rid of. Can you get rid of it? Yes. We got rid of some roots, and they were really deep. But you know what? We had to hit it violently to get it out. And it took some lot of effort to get it out. I think the more longer time goes and you don't deal with it, the harder it is, no doubt, to get rid of that bitterness. And so it's very important to understand that this bitterness can be a lifetime, okay? And I'm a testimony of seeing bitterness in my life. When I was a child, I remember seeing someone at a grocery store, and my dad was with me, and I said, oh, yeah, this is your great uncle, and Uncle Wayne. And first time I ever saw him before. And my dad said, why don't you go give him a hug and kiss? And I did. But we never went over to their house, never saw him. I just thought it was normal. Didn't really understand the reasons why until I got older. And as I got older, I understood that my grandmother and her brother had lots of issues. They done lots of horrible things to each other when they were growing up. They hurt each other's feelings a lot. They would push each other down the stairs, and he would be very mean to my grandmother and would hurt her and say mean things to her and do awful things to her. And no doubt, she was bitter. See, how you know that? Well, because my father was never allowed to go over to his house. Never allowed. And it was just really sad because even though I didn't commit the transaction of this, it still affected me. Okay? It still affected me. Why? Because I was never able to go over there. I never got to know my great uncle. Never was able to really have any relationship. Never got to know them. So I missed out on that part. But the other side of it is that my grandmother never had a relationship with her brother, a good one, okay? Because they couldn't get things settled that they'd done to each other. Hurtful things, mean things, foolish things. You say, that's bad. That's awful. They should never have been that way. It's true. But first time I ever saw them together, never seen them together my whole life. My whole life, never seen them together. But the time that I did see them together, me and my wife went to see my grandmother in the nursing home. She had Alzheimer's. And she knew who I was at that time, at the beginning stages. And you know what? Her brother was put in the same nursing home. And you know what? He was getting Alzheimer's too. And they were sitting together, talking to each other, kissing each other on the cheek. And I almost floored myself. I almost like passed out on the spot. I'm like, is this really happening? I've never seen this my whole entire life of them having a close relationship. And now at the end of life when they're getting ready to die, they're having a close relationship. Wow, what is going on here? And as I thought, I'm like, wow, they finally came to a point where they forgot all the bad things that they'd done to each other. They finally came to a point where all those hurtful things, mean things, terrible things they'd done to each other, they finally forgot. Was it because they done it on purpose? No. God took away it. God took away their mind. So my question to you today would be, how far do you have to allow bitterness to be in your life? Does God have to take you to the end of life so you forget everything almost, and then you forget your bitterness? Nah, I don't think you should go that far. I think you should get it right. I think you should get it right tonight. I think you should get it right anytime throughout your life. Because if not, that's the ultimate end. God kind of laughed at the end of their life and said, you know what, you may have had bitterness, but I can take away the bitterness. But if God takes away the bitterness, it's going to be in a complete different way. And so it's very important to understand, take care of this bitterness. People go through hurtful things. I'm not discounting that whatsoever. But when we go through those bitter and hurtful things, we have to go to the Lord on those things. And God, you know what, can help us with those. If we diligently seek Him on those things, God will help us and give us the victory.
The importance of a lesson on bitterness, of course, something can affect absolutely anybody. I talked to him a couple weeks ago about that, and appreciate the story there about a family, just the amount of loss for years, a lifetime of loss of what could have been had bitterness not been controlling things. Challenges in life create bitterness. We saw that in the beginning part of Job. Trust God regardless. Recognize God's hand as through bitter situations. We see that in Hezekiah. Praise God when those bitter things are over. Sometimes we kind of stay there. As Hezekiah was delivered, wait upon the Lord. He'll be the one that takes care of it. Acknowledge bitterness is an issue. We saw that in Proverbs 14. When we have the motive of bitterness, we see that the results are destruction. I saw it in Acts 8. Stay faithful, be diligent about it, and also put it away, replace it with kindness. So I appreciate the message. A lot of stuff in there. I encourage you to check a lot of those out. Bitterness is a strange one. Sometimes we're like, no big deal, but it's amazing how much it destroys people constantly. Let's go ahead. We'll take a moment for our message, for another message, for an offering at this time. If